No, we're trying to finish up the topic, at least our treatment of the topic of Muammar. Last week we were discussing the relationship between the scope of the din of Muammar l'avodah zarah, as well as the concept of Muammar l'chalas haShabbos b'farhesya. And what we're trying to do also is to explain that there's this famous view of Rashi developed in a tshuva, adopted mostly as the policy of the halacha. That is, that to expand upon what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin about Achan, that Avapisha Chata Yisraelhu, which means that there's a kind of a dialectic in Jewish law. On the one hand, we have this concept of mumar, and a mumar a lekol atarakula, which especially is triggered by mumar l'avodah zarah and mumar l'chalas haShabbos b'farhesya, possibly mumar l'yom kippurim. I'll get to that in just a minute. And at the same time, we also have this other view, and that is that it's very difficult to extricate oneself. It's a good thing, meaning Kedushas Yisrael seems to have some permanent bonding quality, and therefore Af Al Pi Shechata Yisraelu. So the question is, what is the relationship, or what exactly are the parameters between these two different ideas? The idea that on the one hand, you can be involved in certain infractions that basically establish you as an outsider and lose you certainly privileges and prerogatives as a member of Klal Yisrael, certainly vis-a-vis other members of Klal Yisrael. And at the same time, that establish that this is a defining characterization which can never be removed from you. So this is a very, very difficult issue in the halacha. I think I mentioned last time that the Meiri in Yevamos and elsewhere has a very famous and controversial view. His view is that there's a distinction to be made between people who were born into apostasy, in other words, who parents formally renounced Judaism, and they were born in the aftermath of that betrayal, and that such Jews would really, such individuals would really lose their Jewish identity, as opposed to those who renounce themselves, right, but and who were born into and prior to their renunciation were perceived as members of Klal Yisrael. So in other words, an active member of Klal Yisrael, right, can never lose completely his Jewish pedigree, his yichus, but somebody who never had it in some respects can. That's very controversial, but that's the view of the of the Meiri. Last week, I was trying to suggest a different distinction within the worldview of the Rambam, and that is to distinguish between the individual and his individual status, as opposed to his ability to, or his status when it requires some sort of recognition or acknowledgement, and therefore when it impacts in a more formal way the rest of Klal Yisrael. So that, of course, is goes back to the Tashbates that we were discussing. Just to remind everybody, the case happens to be a case of an individual Marano, and he served as, let's say, I think it was a Shliach. Let me just get the text again in front of me. it was a get that was written in Mallorca, and it was written by a Marano Jew, that somebody who had formally renounced his status. But in private, you know, when he was living a secret life, actually took part in minyanim and, you know, did as much as he could. His family insisted on burying him as a Jew. And the question is whether or not his ksiva saget would disqualify a get or not. So in the end of the tshuva, the Rashbats concludes that, you know, the ksivas haget would be proper. It would be get deraisa. That certainly this individual didn't lose his Jewish status or even his prerogatives, because in the end of the day, he was forced into his behavior. And I'm adding now, whether or not he made the right decisions in terms of the obligation of Kiddush Hashem, that's one question. But nonetheless, since there was no intentional rejection or renunciation or betrayal, in the end of the day, he retains his status as a Jew. There's no question about that. But along the way, the Rashbats discusses what it seems to be a curious psak of the Rambam and maybe a stira in the Rambam. Because the Rambam, and this is what we were discussing last, and we're discussing, I'm picking up with that. In Hilchos Ishus Perek Dalet Halacha Tezvav, says very explicitly that a Mekadish Goyo Shifchainan Kiddushin Elarei Achar Kiddushin Kamosha is a Kodim Kiddushin, Chain Goy the Evicha Kitchubas Yisrael, and Kiddushin Kiddushin, but Yisrael Meshumet Shakide, Shafabichu Ovid of Arazara, Birtsono, Hare Elo Kiddushin Gemurim, Utsricha Mimenu Get. So the Rambam says very explicitly that even a Meshumad, Shekidesh, the Kiddushin is Chal, even if he's Oved Avodah Zarah Birtzono. That's clearly the view of the Rambam, and that's how we paskin more generally. At the same time, the Rambam also paskins, this is the previous entry, Paragimah Halacha Tesvav, that Hakok Sherem Lichtav Saget, Chutz Michamisha, five are excluded from writing a get. Goy the Avid Cheresh Shota the Katan. Afilu Ish Atzma Koseves as Gita. And then we conclude Yisrael Shanishtame Lava Rezara Oshu Machalo Shabbos Befarhesia Harehu Kagoy Lechol Devarav. So it sounds like a Machalo Shabbos Befarhesia or a Meshumad Lava Rezara is Kagoy Lechol Devarav, even Lagabe Ksiva Saget. And the question is, what's the difference between being Makadesh and writing a get? So the Rashbat plays with the, you know, possibility that maybe there's a difference between Gittin and Kiddushin. After all, the Gemara Nivamos says explicitly that even a ger, Shinizgayer, the Acharkach Hishtamed, or Chozal Asuro, that Kiddush of Kiddushin, and that you would require a get. But there's no explicit Gemara that says the same thing with regard to writing of or being Megarish as Ishto. So the impression might be that there's a difference between Kiddushin and Gerushin. But mostly the Rashbat rejects this, thinking that although the Gemara's example is Kiddushin, but Huadin, you know, Huadin Gittin, Tzviyatzav Haisa, if we recognize his Kiddushin, then presumably we should recognize his Gerushin too. So he goes on to have a very difficult time with this Rambam. What, and then if any quotes the Tshuva of Rashi that I mentioned before, Yisrael Afa Bishachat Yisrael, who in conjunction, you know, with the Rambam's psak about Kiddushin. But what I was trying to suggest towards the end of, at the end of last year, was that there might be a distinction between the Jew and his individual status, his individual obligations, his individual status vis-a-vis himself, or in this case, vis-a-vis himself and his wife. That's one issue. And a completely separate question is the question of his serving a function. Just one second. His serving a function which is going to be recognized by the rest of Klal Yisrael. That's a whole different question. And even though, again, the Rashbatz himself says it shouldn't be an issue of shlichus and it shouldn't be a problem of lishma, because the problem of lishma, at least as the argument of the Rashbat, the Gemara says about the lishma of a non-Jew, that goy adate denafshe avad, that he doesn't have the right lishma. So the Rashbat says, but I don't think a Meshumet has that problem, right? Because the Meshumet is interested in having the get lishma. So what's the problem of shlichos or ksiva or lishma? He's very puzzled by the whole thing. But Reb Chaim has already pointed out in Hilchos Tefillin, a very famous piece, Chaim points out that the din of goy adaiti denafshe avid isn't an umdana. It's not a question of does he want it for his purpose or is he trying to comply and to accommodate, you know, and to operate according to the rules of Jewish law. That's not the issue. The real issue is whether or not somebody who's an outsider has the capacity to muster lishma. Meaning when the Gemara says, goy adaiti denafshe avid, doesn't mean he's perverse. It doesn't mean he's ignorant. It means that he doesn't have the ability to generate lishma because he's from a different system. He's not bound by these laws and he's not integrated into the values and to the system of Torah. And consequently, in the end of the day, there's no way to educate him. It's not a question of his sincerity. Let's say he grew up, you know, thinking he was a Jew and he went to Jewish school. It doesn't make a difference. In the end, it's a halacha goy adate denafshe avid. So I think what the Rambam holds is that goy adate denafshe avid applies to a meshumad. Not because he isn't educated, but because he has intentionally removed himself, extricated himself from Jewish life. And if he's Ovid Avodah Zarah or Mechal Shabbos Bifarhesya, Bemezid, then he no longer, vis-a-vis Dinei Tzibur, as a man of stature and status, vis-a-vis others, he no longer can generate this kind of lishma. So I think that the Rambam is telling us something very profound about the difference between, you know, serving, you know, as a representative, carrying the mantle of Jewish law on the one hand, and his status as an individual, which he cannot extricate himself from, on the other. So that, I think, is Shitas Haramba.
Could we suggest the Rambam's lashon is Yisrael shenishtamed la'avodah zorah,
right?
As opposed to Yisrael mashumet shikidei shabishu oved avodah zorah. Maybe there's a difference between becoming a monk or a pope or that he's.
No, I don't see that.
Why not?
I mean, the Rambam says afal pi in Hilchos Ishus because he's trying to say.
Why couldn't he say?
And Hilchos Geirushin, he's trying to say, Harehu Kagai, L'chol Dvarav. I think Nishtamed and Yisrael Meshumad is no different. Nishtamed just referring to, you know, the fact that, you know, what he did, which causes what he is. And I think maybe psychologically, you know, the language of. Implies his transformation, and consequently, you know, Harei Ukkoy L'chol Devarav. But Mishumad means, because we're trying to make lighter of it there, because it's vis-a-vis his individual status, again, his Kiddushin, his Geirushin, etc. So instead of emphasizing Nishtamed, the Rambam instead underscores, you know, the reality, but not necessarily the status change. He is a Meshumad, or he was, but it's not, There's no difference between mishumad and nishtamed.
Nishtamed and oved avodah zorah. Why doesn't he say shenishtamed l'avodah zorah on by kiddushin also? Why does he have a different expression?
No, I think he means that even if he continues to be oved avodah zorah, you still need a get.
Okay.
I think that's all he means. Again, because remember, this isn't the only place where the Rambam talks about this issue. His discussion of Meshumad, Lechal Shabbos Feresia, and Avodah Zarah in Hilchos Maisa Karbanos, in Hilchos Shkagos, you know, in Hilchos Shechita, in Gerushin, in Kiddushin, and so on. So sometimes he says Meshumad, sometimes he says Nishtamed. Definitely there's no difference between, you know, renouncing religion and joining another one on the one hand and becoming a, what did you say before, a monk?
A pope.
Yeah. I know we almost had one, but he came close. But definitely not. You know, there's no papal, reference here, as far as I know.
Okay.
But it is it's a good suggestion because it's clearly a very thorny problem. I mean, the whole Tashbetz is testament to the thorniness. I mean, to the difficulty of sorting out these Rambams. I'm just making a very different suggestion. Again, in the end of the day, I think the Rambam would have agreed with the Tashbetz in that particular get of Majorca. As I say, because it's clear the Rambam's talking about, you know, somebody who's Nishtamed Miritzono. Remember that the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah Perakei says very explicitly that even when there's an obligation of Yahareg Vayavar, im avar v'lo neherag, right? You're not chayiv misa. That's a debate in the Rishonim, but the Rambam says that the principle of onus rachmana patre applies. The point I'm trying to make is the Rambam wouldn't deny that a converso, you know, is not treated as a meshumad. He's only talking about, you know, somebody who is a renegade, an intentional renegade. But even then, this distinction in Hilchos Gerushin about shliach or writing a get as a lishma, whatever it is, and being megaresh and mekadesh is very, very significant. Okay, so let's continue. So this idea that there is mixed evidence, a fascinating topic, obviously. I mean, this idea of you know, how permanent is your Judaism? Can you renounce it? And the idea that there are, you know, different realms and that we would distinguish is another extraordinary window into, you know, Jewish thinking, you know, and priorities and, you know, the essentiality of Jewish identity. This is very heady, you know, topics. Okay, so another interesting makar is the Sefer HaEshkol. So Sefer HaEshkol was written by the father-in-law of the Ravid, right, who is sometimes confused with him because his name was Rav Avram ben, not ben David, but ben Yitzchak. So when they would make reference to him, of Narbon, he would often be called the Ravi, right, Rav Avram ben Yitzchak, right, but he was the Av Bezdin of Narbon, so they would call him Ravi Avad. So you can imagine it doesn't take much to confuse, you know, the Ravid and the Ravi Avad, right? And, you know, he was a father-in-law and a son-in-law. So, you know, I'll leave that for everybody's imagination. But the point is, he was Baal Sefer Eshkol was an important, very important person. Anyways, the Sefer Eshkol contains interesting material. So the one that we copied here on page, this is what page? Is it on 2?
We're talking about
page 2.
Yeah.
Okay. So we can Right. We can actually skip a little bit. Let's go down like six or so lines. Just help me out here. Okay, let's go down six lines and start from the Itcha'il Gaon B'Hayinyana. All right?
Yeah, okay, good.
Is that six lines down, Zev?
We're on, what set are we on?
The one that's Mekoros B'Inyani Mumar L'Shabbos V'Avodazara.
Okay, fine.
Okay. In a minute, I'll get to the new sheet. But
yeah. Yeah. All right. Fine.
Ari's telling me something. Nine. Ari, nine.
Set nine, page two.
Okay. Set nine, page two, and I want to start from Ve'itcha'el Gaon.
Yeah.
Line six. Right. Seven.
Line nine.
Line nine. Nine.
Okay. Thank you, Ari.
Okay. Oh, all the way at the end. Got it.
Ve'itcha'el Gaon. B'Hayinyana. Okay.
No.
The Gaon in question was asked about this topic. Il Torah Devarav. This is what he said. Usha Sha'altem. Eshes Ish. This is what happened. Let's go slowly. Eshes Ish Shahalach Ba'ala L'Medina Sayam. Okay. You have a married woman, and her husband went traveling. Usually, when they went traveling, they went for a long period of time. I don't know if they got quarantined, you know, on the other side or whatever it was. Uba Yisrael Meshumad, the Kinsa. And when he was away, a Yisrael Meshumad came and married, or tried to marry, went through a ceremony. The Kinsa married his wife. And then he adds, Kiminag Goyim. Now, the Minag Goyim here doesn't mean that when people or Jews would go traveling, that the non-Jews would go and marry their wives. What he means is, you know, with the ceremony, you know, Kiminag Goyim, whatever, the holy Ben, and they produced a child. Okay? The Achakak Babala, then the husband came home. Obviously, this is a very bad situation. And Nasan La get, and he divorced her. Also, Meshumad, who was the Meshumad? What are the qualifications of the Meshumad in question? Right? Presumably, he wasn't the Pope. Right?
I did. Did you see me?
So, the Osa Meshumad Mechal Shabbos Befarhesia.
What are you doing?
What he was a Mechal Shabbos Befarhesia. So the question is, Akshav, Oso Ben Kosher Uki Aviv Nechshav Kegoy, this is a pretty wild tshuva. Shall we say that the child is kosher because the betrayal of the marriage was not with a person who has the stature of a Jew or the status of a Jew, but a non-Jew? Yeah. What? Yeah. He's a Jew. Yeah, he was born a Jew, right? Because he's a Meshumad, or he's a Mum L'Chal Shabbos B'Farhesia, right? He's Nechshav Kegoy Ad Kedei Kach, that the child wouldn't be a Mamzer? The Goy Ve'Eved Abo Bas Yisrael Vlad Kosher. Odilma Kivin Shim Chazer Bo Yisrael Gamur Hu Vlad Mamzer. Shall we say that since if he decided to do tshuva, right? Meaning this Mechal Shabbos Befarhesia. If he decided to do tshuva, he would return to being a Jew. That's also interesting. So we should therefore say, even now, that the child is a mamzer. Okay? Now, before we go in any further, there's something already to say. First of all, the wild idea, we'll see if it's true, that the din that a mumar l'chol Torah kula would have the effect, right, of being a goy ad kedei kach that the child wouldn't be a mamzer. That's very shocking. We'll see in a minute. The other point is that even on the other side of the Chakira, right, I would have expected, we'll see in a moment, we'll get this, I would have expected that the Odilma would be, Odilma, he's a Jew. He's a terrible Jew. He's a Jew who loses his prerogative in many things, right? But he retains it still in some others. And therefore, legabe this, he's a Jew. Instead, what you get is a very interesting perspective, which you wonder, maybe it has even wider repercussions. And that is it possible that the only reason that someone does not lose his Kedushas Yisrael when he's a Meshumad is because of the potential of tshuva? Right? That's what the Bala Eshkol says. And that's what this Gaon says. I'm going to read it one more time. Read that line again. One second. Odilma, kiven she'im chazar bo Yisrael gamor hu, havlad mamzer. Meaning no one thinks that if this renegade Jew, right, who's temporarily kagoy, no one thinks that if he is chozer b'tshuva that he needs to be mizgayer. Right? I mean, the Tashbetz actually does think that he needs a tvila, but let's leave that out. Let's not impose that on the Eshkol. But the idea is, for sure, let's assume all he needs to do is to do tshuva. But the formulation is, the only reason that we're saying, is the only reason that we say, afal pi shechata Yisrael hu, because even though right now he's kagoy, he always has the potential of chazara b'tshuva? Conceptually, that would be very remarkable. So there is actually such a view in the, I think it's in the Tshuvas of the Marimints, I have to check again, or the Marimints, where he actually says that, as a Dindaraisa. He says, it's two days, whether it's a Dindaraisa or a Dindarabbanan, that, you know, maybe, really, really, we don't say Yisrael afa b'shechata Yisrael hu, you know, min haTorah, or at least not fundamentally. But one view is not min haTorah. But you always need a get, because maybe he'll be chozer b'tshuva. Okay? So that is very remarkable. Now again, what would happen, you know, somebody, if there was such a scenario where somebody maybe couldn't be chozer b'tshuva? I don't know, he was medically unable at a certain point. I don't know. But anyway, this is a fascinating idea. Okay. What does he answer? So, kachra inu, shavlad mamzer. Okay, we can all breathe a collective, sigh of relief, Baruch Hashem, the Vlad is a mamzer. I mean, we're unhappy that the Vlad is a mamzer, but, it would be worse if he wasn't in terms of the philosophy of halacha, in terms of the ability to cast away Kedushas Yisrael. So, in the bigger picture, Baruch Hashem, okay? The Vlad is a mamzer. And then he himself says right away, below me tam shim chazer bo hareu ki Yisrael l'chol devarav. Not because of the reason originally proposed, namely the potential for tshuva, which means that fundamentally, right, in principle, he could cast off his Jewishness, but rather elamit pnei, this is also interesting, though, it's also not what we expected, shehoisa haroso bileidaso bikdusha. The reason is because he was properly born into the Jewish people. And therefore that that pedigree, right, does not allow him to cast away his Jewish identity. Horoso veledoso. Notice he doesn't say, hoil the Yehudihu or the Yisraelhu, right? And you'll see this is very consistent. He means this. Okay. The Ein Holchim Bedin is the next line. When it comes to this particular issue, it doesn't depend on Chilul and Shmirah Shabbos, which is another way of saying here we don't apply the din that a mishumad is a mumar l'chol Torah kula and kegoy l'chol devara. Shebishnei mekomos tzorach ladas mishpatei mishumad ushnei bechinos yesh lahen. Says there are two dinim, there are two perspectives on mishumad, and two criteria. This is written very like almost modern language, you know, like a combination between Lamdish language and modern Hebrew language. Very strange. He says you have to know that there are two mishpatei mishumad and shnei bechinos. Makom rishon, the first one is levarech, lezamein, levatel rishus uchadom olim and amitzvos. The first one is the issue of I would say ritual, but I would really even emphasize more. Bechinasa b'kol elu liros hashomer hu shabbos o mechalala. These are, you know, can you be yotze with his bracha, right? Are you affected? Are certain dinei erevin, especially the sugyan erevin daf samach tes, where this whole question of mechal shabbos for hesya, the equation to avodah zara and its status kigoy gomer is discussed more fully. That's, you know, levatal rishus in terms of chatzeros, right? Uchadom lehem in amitzvos, meaning where you depend on, you have to recognize this other person in that circumstance as an individual, in other words. Bechinasa b'cholel liros hashomer shabbos amachala. When it comes to this, we apply the din of areo kegoy l'chol advarim. Kedetanya, as we learned, Yisrael Meshumad, right? Yisrael Meshumad Shabbos Peshuk, Hareo Kakol Yisrael Lechol Devarav, Shemavato Rishus, Shein Yisrael Shabbos Peshuk, Hareo Kagoy Ve'ena Mavato Rishus. That's one area. Mokom Sheni, Le'inyan Arayos, V'kidushin, V'gitin, V'chalitzo, Miyunin, U'mamzeros, V'chadom Alehem B'kol Arayos. So the Eshkol makes a distinction between ishus topics, which also include arayos, we'll call it personal status questions vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael. Because when a person gets married or divorced or chalitza, frankly, even his illicit transgressions in the area of arayos, none of that is personal. That's what we see from here. All of that is connected to Klal Yisrael. And that's not an individual thing anymore. Chudom alem b'chol arayos, b'chinosa b'chol elu liros, im hoysa oros v'leidosa b'kedusha, kedusha v'kedusha v'gita v'gitin v'chalitza so v'chalitza. As long as he's born into the Jewish community, he has the right pedigree, then his Kedushas Yisrael is intact. Right? Ubanav Michaib Christus Mamzeirim Heim. If he has an illicit relationship with someone, and that of course is the case that we're talking about, Yadinashus Fish, you had this renegade, Milchal Shabbos Befar Hesya, Shedino Kegoy, who had a improper, right, relationship with her. And the question is the child a mamzer? Or do you treat him like a goy legabi doverze? So that's where the Baal Sefer Eshkol says that depends on being born into the Jewish community. Kimosha Shanina Linyan Gerim, Hoyse Rasa Vladasa Bekedusha, Arenki Solachol Devrayim. Klolo Shal Davar, the mitzvos, like this is the pithy rule and formulation. The mitzvos halakha achar shmira Shabbos. Barayos halakha achar hiroyom v'leida. Afkan kimchin it's yahed, meaning he was born a Jew. V'nolad b'kdusha u'bol esh asish havlad mamzer gamor. V'emid over the safek v'cheinu adin v'en l'shanos. Kol zek kasav harav Rabbi Yehuda Zal, the Hilchos Meshumad. Imagine that there was something called Hilchos Meshumad. So who's Rabbi Yehuda? Probably Rabbi Yehuda Bar Barzilai, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Tzaloni, the author of Sefer Ashtaros, Sefer Itim, the author of the Sefer Eshkol often quotes, he's like the generation before, the Rabbi Avadi often quotes this, very famous authority. Okay, Vania Kosev, now the Eshkol talks for himself, responding to this psak. Vania Kosev, Tama, says, I have difficulty with this, Pamesha Kosav. The E Kidsha Achua. Okay, I want to get up. I'm going to skip the first four lines here because they refer to the Yibum parts, which is fascinating for Yibum, but we're not learning Yibum right now. It'll distract us from things that are closer to home. So go to the important things that I want to bring out. Three lines from the bottom. Umay da Amar. Okay, we have that. What's the line number there? Six?
27.
Okay, all right, I didn't read your hand movements right. Okay, 27. Umay d'amar bi'inan horoso v'lodoso b'kedusha. Right? The comment that it depends on horoso v'lodoso b'kedusha. You have an obvious question. V'harei goshe taval v'ola harei uki Yisrael. The Hadabay, the Kaddish, right? Yisrael Meshumadu, the Kiddush of Kiddushin. The Imbok Mochin al Kaibe Krisus, Hafapisha Chazal Asuro, Havlad Mamzer. Kiddin Yisrael Meshumadabal Kaibe Krisus, Havlad Mamzer. Hafapisha Loiso, hey, Ross of Lodas of Kiddusha. What's going on? The author, Sefer Eshkol, asks a powerful question. If according to Rabbi Yehuda Bar Barzilai, right, the criterion when it comes to Ishot, Mamzer, Chalitza, Gittin, Miyunin, I think somebody's, if the criterion is based on Horasa V'Leidasa B'Kedusha, then how could it be? How do you explain Ger? And the Gemara actually says explicitly in Masechet Yevamos, and that's actually the makor for the din, in Tshuvas Rashi, Yisrael afa pishachata Yisrael hu, with regard to Kiddushin, the makor for the Rambam's view that we'd peridalot hachasishas that we read before, which is that a meshumad shekidesh, right, is requires a get. That whole halacha, well, one of the main makoros will say, the main makar, is the Gemara Nivamas Memzai that I referred to. What's that Gemara? A ger shenizgayer, a ger kosher, ger tzedek, the achar kach chozar lasuro, and then he backslides, and he not only behaves improperly, but he renounces his gerus. I'm not talking about kutim or givonim. I'm talking about a regular ger. It's not the igloilam afreya. He just changed his mind. He's an unstable person. He was sincere when he was mizgayer. Now he's sincere in turning his back on the religion. So the Gemara says in Yevamos, he can't do that from our point of view. Meaning if he's mekadesh and isha, she needs a get. That's where we get this din that even if you're a meshumad, right, it sticks to you, you can't turn your back on Jewish identity. It's part of the essence of who and what you are. That's true even for a ger. But according to Rabbi Yehuda Barzilai, that this is contingent upon Horasa V'Leidasa B'Kedusha, why should that be so? There's no Horasa V'Leidasa B'Kedusha in Ger. So I think that you have to say one of two things. One is Now, he doesn't literally mean harasa v'leidasa b'kedusha. It's his way of saying that, you know, whereas in certain areas of halacha we care about how you behave, in other areas we care who you are, your identity. And your identity is not something that you can ever change. And that is true for a ger as well. Or another way to say that might be, not sure if this is the same thing or a second point, what is the expression that we use when we formulate the effect of geirus, the effectiveness of geirus? Geir shen is gayer, kekotan sheno ladami. So actually, of course, it isn't a leida. It means it's the equivalent of a leida. But what we're saying, what we mean by it, is that a geir starts off with a complete blank slate, mostly, right? Vis-a-vis, in other words, his previous life, he, you know, is mostly disconnected to it. There are a few issues where that isn't the case. Things that have to do with humanity, like being a person, a member of the world, but anything having to do with the divide, you know, between Judaism and his previous life, he's disconnected from. But the way we express that is Gershon is Gayer, Kikatan Shinolad. So, of course, he didn't really have a Horoso, certainly didn't have a Horoso Bekedusha. He didn't have a Leidasa Bekedusha either. But what we mean is, we don't mean a Leida, we mean identity, as opposed to conduct, behavior, identification, etc. It's a less than fully accurate, but kind of an effort to capture. You can't change your birth, you can't change your identity. So we're saying, who are the leger? Maybe. I think this is another possibility as well, according to the Rebar's Eli, and that is that there really are two different dinim. Meaning one halacha really is that if you are born a Jew, then with respect to certain areas of halacha, personal status questions, etc., that forever defines you. And by the way, we don't mean the Rebar Zilai was not relating to the issue of the Meiri. I mean, more likely is that Rebar Zilai would tell you that even children that are born, you know, to a Jewish mother that converted after she converted are still Horasam V'Leidasam V'Kedusha. Meaning what the Meiri says is still Mechudash, not likely embraced by the Rebar Zilai. Anyways, but the point that the Rebar Zilai thinks that there's a din of harasa v'leidasa b'kedusha. But for Ger, maybe there's a separate din. And that separate din, I think, could be based on one or of two or maybe both elements. And that is as follows. In Gerus, number one, the decision to join Klal Yisrael is voluntary. And that alone makes it irrevocable. In other words, if somebody happens to be born into the, you know, in Israel, right? They didn't choose it. On one level, you know, why should they be held to a commitment, you know, made by Avraham Avinu or, you know, or Klal Yisrael at Maimon Har Sinai, you know, all those years ago? And the answer is, listen, you know, you were born into it. You know, you have no choice. That's what it is. But anybody who transforms their status based on a conscious decision, that is irrevocable in its own right. The decision alone is irrevocable. Now, here's the other part. I'm not sure if that's a separate and independent point, or these are two sides, two opposite sides of one idea. And that is, maybe there could never have been gerus if gerus wasn't permanent. That's the note. Already it's the idea of gerus is mechudash, right? Ad kedei kach that there are some perspectives on Jewish identity, you know, which have trouble with gerus. The Kuzari and the Maral and, you know, people who think that there's a spiritual, you know, genetic component. I mean, the Rambam and others who don't think that that exists at all have no trouble in this respect with gerus. But, you know, I always like the idea that, comment of Rabbi Yosef Engel, that, you know, the phrase gerish and his gayer kakatan shenolad is an interesting term. It really should be goy shenizgayer kakatan shenolad. So Rabbi Yosef Engel has a very inspiring comment where he says, our perspective is that whenever there's a ger tzedek, that he was always destined to join Klal Yisrael. Therefore, he's a ger shenizgayer. Anyways, but that aside, the whole institution of gerus, which is really fundamental. I mean, we view it as, it's problematic on the one hand, you would think, meaning even if there wasn't a spiritual genetic component like the Kuzari and the Maral, and you have to say something about the destination and so on and so forth. Just, you know, the very makeup of Jewish life, you know, and the profile of a Jew is such, you know, that it's so built on the exclusiveness of that status and all the legal elements that define it, you know, matrilineal, you know, and so on and so forth. The idea that somebody can come in from the outside is, very, very significant. At the same time, the halacha views this as a must, as something that is core and integral, the ability of sincere people to join Klal Yisrael, you know, according to proper protocol, is a fundamental idea that they should not be denied, you know, that opportunity. Of course, there have been amazing gerim, you know, most of whom have just assimilated into good assimilation, Klal Yisrael, but whose contributions are immense, right? So the ability of people sincere, according to proper protocols, to become a member of Klal Yisrael is a crucial idea. Indeed, it's interesting, the Gemara in Krisus, you know, again, we're getting closer to Maimed Har Sinai and Matan Torah, you know, which was an act of gerus, according to Chazal, right? The Rambam, you know, based on the Gemara in Yevamos, and Krisus especially, more Krisus than Yevamos, but both. The Rambam, when he talks about gerus in the very beginning, Perek Gimel Hilchos Surabiya, you know, draws upon the paradigm of Maimed Har Sinai. And the idea that, you know, there was Mila and there's Tevila and there's Hartzaz Damim, there's a Korban. So Bizman HaZeh, that's this discussion in Krisos, we no longer have Korbanos. So you would think that there can no longer be Geros. But, you know, it says, B'chol Dorosechem, B'chol Moshvasechem, B'chol Dorosechem. There's a limud which establishes that there has to be capacity for Geros in every generation. So that I think it's not just a narrow fact or din. It's something very core to Yahadus. Meaning, there has to be this option for sincere people according to proper protocols. You know, kosha gerim li Yisrael kesapachas. You have to be super careful. We spent a lot of time talking about kutim and givonim, right? And the, you know, insincere people who, you know, when, again, the earliest ones in a way, the Erev Rav, right? Who can corrupt from the inside. So you have to be excessively careful. But at the same time, this is a critical, necessary possibility. So there has to be that option, even if that means dropping when it's impossible, Geirus is not Ma'akev. I'm sorry, when it's impossible, the Korban is not Ma'akev. Hartzah's Damim is not Ma'akev. So on the one hand, you have this dialectic. But the point is, if it were possible, right, for a Geir to turn his back on Yahadus completely, then it would be inconceivable to allow him entry, as much as that's important. You'd make a chuchotlul out of the whole thing. He's a full member of Klal Yisrael today, and then he goes back tomorrow, and then he comes back in the third day. So what I'm trying to say is, both the actual decision needs, the decision makes it irrevocable, and the fact that it is an entry and a matter of decision, by definition, policy-wise, means it has to be irrevocable. So it could be that in Achanami, when it comes to Nolad, Leidasa B'Kedusha, Horasa B'Kedusha, Leidasa B'Kedusha, right, Jewish identity is permanent, right, vis-a-vis certain areas of halacha because of that reality. But for a Ger, that isn't true. But for a Ger, there's a greater truth or an equal truth. And that is that his decision and the need for that decision also to be binding in order to justify or validate or, you know, make this a constructive portal into Klal Yisrael, that alone creates in parallel the din that Chazal Lasuro, he still remains a Jew. Okay? So that's what I think is going on in the Geirus context. I'm going to stop for a second before I continue just to see if anybody has a question. And I'm actually going to fill up my water because I'm having voice issues. So just give me one second. Okay, sorry. See, the Diet Coke does better. Does anybody have any questions before we continue? Ari, go ahead.
Rebbe. It's interesting what Rebbe's saying, because it's a sort of a foil to what we talk about with Kiddushin and Gerushin, how the need of an escape valve, of an ability to get out, is what imbibes the Kiddusha. But now we're saying with Gerus, it's the inability to get out, so to speak, what is what creates the Kedusha. Obviously, they're different, but it's interesting.
Right. The foil great, that we're creating. Right. It's a great parallel to think about. I think they are totally different, and that's why, but I think it's a great perspective. In other words, in Gerushin, it's all about the relationship between these two people. Hmm. And, it's supposed to be an ideal existential bond. And, you know, therefore, it shouldn't be easy to dissolve, but the inability to dissolve it under any conditions, you know, just detracts from, you know, the voluntary or the volitional, you know, and therefore the lofty status that it can achieve. But when it comes to, you know, identifying as a Jew, you know, the level of obligation and so on, is so defining and essential that, and again, even then you do lose, but you don't lose it as a prerogative. You lose it as it's a lost prerogative, in other words, you know, so that, but I think it's a great perspective to bring in. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else have a question before we move on?
Rebbe.
We're good. Yeah.
This was, 2 shiurim ago, or just a comment, question. I saw the Minchas Chinuch from last week's parsha. Yeah. I was talking to Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim, and he says, it's quite interesting. He says, "Uludidi nira de'imhu b'tzina lekaman de'polag de'lav chil Hashemhu kaven to Rabbi Shmuel kamiflik bein b'tzina de'ena chayv limsor t'lo shaych losachalu Imkain kulam sovrim delo shach lo schalu vegam kein hikdashti betzina. We have limbs are now show mikoach haasei v'ahavta. Avol kiddush Hashem v'chil Hashem lo shayach betzina. Kein ner li mitivei hashas. Imkain ba'avrav lo neherak avral mitzis haasei v'ahavta.
Great. I mean, again, I'm not surprised, that's what we mean. That's what I call a mid Rabbi Shmuel.
Right, it's a total opposite of Rebbe's approach.
Yeah, exactly. It's a mid Rabbi Shmuel Nishma Lechachamim, in which, although again, it's not completely opposite of my approach, because he's not suggesting that the issue is based on Chumrah Shavera either, or maybe he is. He says it's hard to know because he's emphasizing the Ahavta Hashem Elokecha, the Makar.
Right.
So, all I would say is, again, it's based on Midrash Yishmael and Yishmael Rabbanan.
Correct.
Which is sometimes true and sometimes not true. That could be the Nakudah Machlokas. And certainly there is a clear Machlokas in the Rishonim about this point. You know, the Rishonim will say explicitly that the problem is Chila. Again, it's implicit in the Balamor and those, you know, think Hamas Atmo or who make the comparison to, the Chiyuv Betzibor or Befarhasia. In other words, there's a discussion in the Chidushe Haran and Sanhedrin, together with Rabbi Bonfield, about, you know, again, Lavar Valoner. So you're Chayv to be Moser Nefesh, and you don't. Are you Chayv Misa for Avodah Zarah or not? So it's interesting that the Ran says no, because let's say, for example, Befarhasia, right? Yechayev also Mesiris Nefesh. Yechayev Yehorg V'Yavar Befarhasia. But no one will say that in Avar V'lo Nerag that Yechayev Misa. He says, because after all you really violated is Chil Hashem. He says, Hu Adin in the Gimel Averos. And Rabbi David Bonfil responds and says, what do you mean Hu Adin? That's exactly the point. In the Gimel Averos, they're Gimel Averos, they're Mishum Chomer. In Befar Hesia, that's Midin Chel Hashem. So that there goes the. So yeah, I mean there are explicit, but yeah, it's a great snapshot in the Mechatzkina. So thank you. Okay, let's continue with today's Mar Mekomos. I wanted to show very quickly two other things. So I actually, very very diligently printed out today Zev's copy. So we thank Zev. This is set 11.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know if Dr. Maybrook, looks like Dr. Maybrook is with us, I think. I think I see.
Yeah, I'm here. It's Zev M.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't know if you found it, Simin Yud Ches?
Yeah, I did.
You did. Okay. Anyway, so I want to talk just a few minutes about about Mumar Lechal Yom Kippurim and Mumar Lechal as a Shabbos just a little bit more before we sum everything up and finish up a little bit, I guess mostly next week, but and we'll move on next week as well. So there are two things I wanted to discuss. One was this interesting tshuva of the Beis HaLevi. I mentioned last week, it was brought up, I think Dr. Maybrook originally brought it up actually, I think. What would be the status of, we talked about Mumar Lavodah Zarah and Mumar Lechal Shabbos Befar Hesya, them both being a Mumar Lechal Tara Kula. So what about Mumar Liyom HaKippurim? It doesn't appear in our Gemara here in Chulin, Daf Hei, and it doesn't appear in the Gemara in Horios, and Daf Yud Aleph, for Lavodah Zarah, Daf Chavav. it doesn't appear. However, I think I mentioned last week, this is where this comes from, and that is that the Rambam Paskins and the Shulchan Aruch Tur quotes it, and the Shulchan Aruch, or at least the Rama, quotes it as well, and that is that if a person writes a get on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur, that the get is batal min haTorah. Okay? In other words, if you're Mechal Shabbos or Yom Kippur, to produce a get, that that compromises the validity, right, the kashrus of the get. And the question is why. So the assumption of a number of the poskim was that that was based on the principle that if you're Mechalel Shabbos or Mechalel Yom Kippur, you're a mumar. If you're a mumar, you lose your status of Kedushas Yisrael. And as such, it's not a proper get. Okay? Now, of course, this assumes that a mumar who writes a get, a mumar l'chol tarah kula who writes, it assumes two things. A mumar l'chol tarah kula who writes a get, the get is pasul. That's number one. That's the Shitas Rambam that we were discussing before, that the Tashbates had so much difficulty with. But that's l'shita, that's the Rambam l'shita. So, it also assumes that mumar, if that's the pshat, that a mumar l'chal yom kippurim is a mumar l'chal tarah kula. And the question is, where does this come from? So if you look at the beginning of the Beis Halevi, I put it on the sheets here, very interesting piece. He said, this is starting from, we'll start from line two. Yachog tzas bedin mumar l'chal yom kippurim yavikam mumar l'chal shabbos tav shkitas hanevei lo lo. Achrashin is barer b'simin tezayin yom kippurim yeshul kol chomer sheyesh b'shabbos v'chol demad dematzinu d'asur b'shabbos asur b'yom kippurim v'shim de'ikri gam kin shabbos. He says, I wrote in a previous simin, right, not the one right before, but the one, I think, two before, that a mumar l'chal yom kippurim, I'm sorry, that a mechal yom kippur, or the yom kippur, we take very seriously the status of Shabbos Shabbos. And therefore, in light of that, says the Beis HaLevi, Amarti lichtav kan k'tzatz ba de kaimelon mumar l'chal Shabbos v'esher mumar l'chal Torah kula v'shkitas anvela im mumar l'chal yom kippurim im avagam kin mumar l'chal Torah kula ola. Okay, we're on line five. So he says that a lot of people talk about this topic. Bidin Zahar Bela Palpel, Hagoin Murder Rabbi Kim Eger, right? Etc. You can look to line seven. They says, Ayan Bechuva, the Tvuo Shor, Shehavi Lahad Kosov Ramah, Bevno Ezer, based on Rambam, Vim Kosov Aget Bemezid, O Beshabbos of Yom Kippurim, Batal Midaraisa, right? Umuchach, the Gambiam Kippur, Abam of the Kal Tarakula. Bavadai Tsarchi, and where would this come from? Right? Tug Begamarla Niskar Kane, Rak Bishabas. Uminole, Lahosif, Gam Yom Kippur. Havod Varein Renicha, Yom Kippur, no Mishabas, Chol Dvar. Right? Meaning the fact that this is a Shabbos Shabboson, and we take that seriously, that's Kovea. Amnam, Lachor Yesh Shodaber Bazeh, Adain Hinebi, Yvom Mustafla Magim, and then he goes on. I only copied the relevant parts. It's a very, semi-long tshuva. So the first perspective in the Beis HaLevi is that a mumar l'chal yom kippur, like Shabbos, is a mumar l'chal Torah kula, and the common denominator is Shabbos Shabbos. Question is, why would this be true? This is our question, and later he asks this question too. Why would this be true given the two pshatim, right, that we identified last week as the basis for Mumar L'chol Shabbos B'Farhesya being Mumar L'chol Torah Kula, which are Rashi and Daf Hei, which is that a mumar l'chol Torah kula is an implicit kofer b'maisa breishis. And the Rambam, the last halacha in Hilchos Shabbos, the end of Perek Lamed, right, where he says that Shabbos is an os between the Rabbon Shalom and Klal Yisrael, and therefore it's shkula keneged kol mitzvos, and like avodah zarah, anyone who, in this case publicly, violates it, right, is not mi rishe Yisrael or mi poshe Yisrael, but worse. So the question is, if either the if the basis is either, you know, Zeichel Maisa Bracious, or the basis is Os, how does that apply to Yom Kippur? Oh. So the Beis Halevi eventually kind of asks that question too. And his answer, which I'll show you inside in just a second, is that whether or not Mumar, Lekal Yom Kippurim is considered Mumar Lekal Tara Kula, depends on how you understand why Mumar Lekal Shabbos is a Mumar Lekal Tara Kula. Meaning, he suggests that there are two perspectives. And I personally think that that there's really an in-between perspective, which is a little more accurate. But I'll tell you the two things he says. He says, if the basis, and this goes back to our talk about Avodah Zarah and Shabbos, says, if the basis for Mum L'Chal HaShabbos, Mum L'Chal Tara Kula, is the Maisa Avera, the Chumras Maisa Avera, the fact that Chilul Shabbos per se is considered to be a sufficiently grave offense, meaning more grave than others, let's say, such that, you know, its violation is establishes you as Mumar L'Chol Torah Kula, then Hu Adin L'Gabe Yom Kippur, because it's Shabbos Shabbosom. And there's also a death penalty, and it's also a violation of Malacha. However, he says, maybe there is another perspective about why it is that Shabbos might be Mumar L'Chol Torah Kula. And that is, it isn't the Avera per se. Now, this is where I think he goes to the other extreme. He says, it's not the Avera, it's what the Avera reflects about your broader perspective and loyalty to Judaism. In other words, somebody who has the ability to be Mechal on Shabbos Befar Hesia could only do that, perhaps, right, if he harbors, right, disregard, or, you know, very little regard, you know, for the Halacha, the Rabbanu Shel Olam, to begin with. So the point is that it isn't per se the Avera, right, but the Avera is a shiur, you know, in likely, you know, Mumrius Hagavra. We'll call it that way. It doesn't say it exactly that way. I'll show you how he says it in just a second. So he argues, but if that's the case, then maybe that's only because of the symbols, you know, attached to Shabbos, the symbol of Os, right, the symbol of Maisa Bracious, which you don't have in Yom Kippur. So according to that second perspective, you wouldn't say Mumar L'Chol Shabbos and Mumar L'Chol is a Mumar Yom Kippur. Okay. So what I wanted to demonstrate for a couple of minutes, and then I want to talk about one other thing, is that I think there's something in between these two. When the Beis Halevi wants to prove this idea, he quotes a Gemara in Yevamos. Gemara in Yevamos speaks about Yisr Chal Yisr. And the Beis Halevi wonders the following. The Gemara that talks about the relationship between Chil Shabbos and a Zar who is Maktir, you know, non-Kohen, who does the Avoda, not in Shechita, but other things in the Beis HaMikdash. Let's say a Zar is Maktir, the Korban on Shabbos. Okay, so this Chil Shabbos, because he's not a Kohen who can be obeyed, and he's also a Zar. So the Gemara Nivamos discusses, you know, the relationship between those two violations in terms of the problem of Yisr Chal al Yisr. So the Beis Halevi says, but why isn't Shabbos always like an Yisr, which is Chal on the Yisr of Zar? Because simply by virtue of the fact that it's a Mumar L'Chol Torah Kula. Why not say Shabbos is a Mumar L'Chol Torah Kula? therefore it's always more mosif, more kolel, probably more mosif than the other. So look here, just look at line. I'll just and I'll explain to you why I think this is important in just a second. He says here, line 12. It says the imkain. I skipped a bunch in the middle. My parach hashaper chal Shabbos al zaros, Rabbi Yossi. So ikar chomer b'Shabbos shein b'zaros. The mumer l'chal Shabbos b'farhesya, have a mumer l'chal tarakula. Ushchitasa nevela. Mash enkein b'zaros. Devada ein lomer d'mchal Shabbos lo nasa mumar. Rakim b'chal b'davar shesdono kares. Alom b'chal b'yitzuri lavin b'Shabbos. I'll explain in a minute. Mishimachi Rabbi Yossi Tzvir Leilav Havar Leilav Yatsa Sonasis Mumar Oide Havar Zeino Nakola Poskim Sosma Devrayim Umashma Degam Balav De Mechamer Vegam Kim Mumar Vechem Bechulin Dav Hei Tanya Stam De Mechal Shabbos Befar Hes Yav Mumar Harigam Yisro Lav Nav Bechal Mechal Shabbos Vechem Bevur Betvur Shor Kola Osa Dover Hasar Midaraisa Havishkitasa Nevela Being Kena Shaper Chal Shabbos Al Zaros, Ulch Oranir Muchrach Mizeh Lomar. So what, again, what is he saying? Before I get to this, we're on line 18. What he's saying is something very remarkable. He's saying the din of Mumar L'Chal Shabbos Mumar L'Chal Tarakula. Why is that never a reason to always say that Shabbos is always Chal and another Iser, and that the rule of Ein Iser Chal Iser doesn't apply? After all, if it's Noveya from the Maisa Avera, if it's a property of the Maisa Avera, namely, that it's also Mumar L'Chal Tarakula, then it should always overwhelm any other Iser. That's his argument. Along the way, he says, unless you think because of the particular case, he said you should know that the din, we'll talk about this next week when we finish up, the din of Mumar L'Chal Shabbos, Mumar L'Chal Tarakula, is not only when you violate a capital crime on Shabbos. It means even if you violate a lav of Shabbos, like Mechamer, or what he's talking about, which is Havara Lalav Yatsas. So he says, but if this is the case and we don't say it, then why don't we say it? So listen to this. Nira D'muchach Mizeh, this is line 18. D'ha D'kaimel D'mechal D'Shabbos Havar Mumar L'Chal Tarakula. Einu mishum avera de Shabbos. Dalidei de avar alisa Shabbos. Asta hatora oso kavadazara lechol davar. Shetzorech Yisrael dafka. De onesh ze lo matina batora lehedja. Torah doesn't say explicitly that a consequence of chilul Shabbos is that you are going to become a mumar lechol Torah kula and you're going to lose your prerogatives. Dalidei, but rather, so what is it? Ulchorinira, right? What do you have to say? Da'idei da'avar, I'm sorry. Lisa Shabbos also Torah also Kavod. So you don't say that. Rak have a birur. This is line 20. The Chachamim yardu l'savdaitan shel bnei Adam. The kivin din espaker l'chal Shabbos is befarhesia. Since he rebels, right, and rejects. To the point where he'll even be Mechal Shabbos before Hesha, with all of that implies. The Vadai have a Belibo, Mumar L'Chal Tarakula. The Achil Shabbos have a Ragbir Retzlainu, the Humumar, below Mishum Aveira de Shabbos, who Dava Mumar. And then he says, Ein Chul and Daf Hei, Shekosav Rashi Atam, the Shabbos Domel Avadazara. Mishum de Shabbos Hava Os Alabria. By the way, this is a fascinating thing. Does Rashi say that Shabbos is an Os on the Bria? He doesn't say the word Os. The Beis Halevi
Kofir.
The Beis Halevi here conflates language of the Rambam in Perek Lamed and language of Rashi. Even as he's talking about Rashi, he has Rambam language in his mind. But anyways, the imkein a kofer ba, a kofer bibria, Asher lov yasuvu robe hamitzvos. Also fascinating. Rashi doesn't say that the bria is a source of the mitzvos. Right? Bimke nicha de park bivamos he chalazarus ze lochosh of klal chomer shabbos mibazarus. Kibid lo mishum aveira de shabbos rakten is baralanu de bemitzvah mumalachal tarakula. And then he says, "V'im kein hach the mumer lechal yom kippurim lechor toli bazeh." This is what now let's figure out: is mumer yom kippur included with Shabbos? De'im no marzeh hava mishum aveira de Shabbos. If it's because of the chomer and the ma'isa aveira, asta taroso kavod zara gamor. That's why. Yishomer degam yom kippurim hava kein. Kivin dekol advarim nilmad yom kippurim mishabbos. The mistake, it should have been a kaf. Of the kivin davar rag birur, below mishum chomer Shabbos, him kein minolan lasos gam yom kippurim kein. Davar zara lo shayach limud klal, dalzelo shayach limud klal, kivin lomatzina begemara kein rak mish Shabbos, him kein minolan lahashos yom kippurim le Shabbos zeh. So basically, what I want to say is the following, very quickly. Number one, on the first point of the Beis Halevi, I want to refute both of these points very quickly. Not refute, but I want to weigh in. I want to at least question these two points. What I was trying to suggest when we learned the Gemara about Mumar L'chal Shadz Farhesya, Mumar L'chal Tarakula, and Mumar L'Avarazar being a Mumar L'chal Tarakula, is something in between. I want to talk about the in-between, and then I'll explain, you know, the two other views. What I was trying to explain was, regarding Avodah Zarah, for example, was that it isn't the Maisa Vera of Avodah Zarah which makes him a Mumar L'chal Tarakula. It's the dimension in Avodah Zarah of Mumrius of Begida. What I was trying to say is that in a typical act of Avodah Zarah, where you do a Maisa Avodah Zarah, you overlap two different things, at least two things. One is a specific Maisa Avera, which is very chamor, and which is measured, has certain rules. And at the same time, that very Maisa also is a kiyum, a negative kiyum, has a dimension of Begida. What I was trying to say is sometimes you can have Begida without having the Maisa of Avodah Zarah. For example, Islam, or being Kofer Batorah, right? Mesis of the Nachash HaKadmoni, the things that we discussed. But at the end of the day, I wasn't suggesting what the Beit HaLevi is suggesting, which is that either it's the Chomer Maisa Avera of Avodah Zarah that is so weighty that it's shakul, you know, keneged kol mitzvos and makes him a mumer l'chal tarakula, or the fact that he could do this is a shiur in his mumrius that is separate from Avodah Zarah. What I was suggesting was there are two aspects within Avodah Zarah itself. And the Begida part is an element in Avodah Zarah. Similarly, in Shabbos, there's Chilul Shabbos. And then there's also part of Chilul Shabbos is that it is an implicit kfirah b'maisa b'reishis, or that it is an implicit repudiation of the special bond between Klal Yisrael and the Ribono Shel Olam. But at the end of the day, and therefore, on that basis, it's Mumar L'chal Tarakula. But what the Beis HaLevi is suggesting is two extremes. He's saying either you take the view that this is an aspect of the Maisa Avera itself, in which case you should apply dinim like Iser, Chalal Iser, because it's more Mosif. In other words, it becomes a tchuna, becomes a characteristic of the Avera itself. Then he says you should wonder, how come the Torah says you chayv kares? I'm sorry, you chayv skila. You know, But Torah didn't say that you're a mumin l'chol Torah kula. Or, says the Beis Halevi, it really has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah or Shabbos. Just that somebody who can bring himself to Avodah Zarah and Shabbos, separate from the Avodah Zarah and the Shabbos, right? It shows that he, Begavra, separate completely Begavra, is a Gavra Mumar. And therefore he says that has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. But what I would suggest is no one thinks that Mumar L'chol Torah Kula is a din in the Maisa Avera and it's like an Onesh. Everyone thinks that there's an aspect within Avodah Zarah and Shabbos separate from the Maisa, the Pe'ula, HaAvera, and the Chi of Onesh. There's also an implication, but internally, Betoras, as an element of Avodah Zarah and Shabbos, of Begida. And if that's the case, it's not that like, you know, Birer, you know, Rachmana, you know, Shemi She'osa Zeh, you know, Asui Lios Bal Machshava Zeh. It really is a din in Shabbos, and it's a din in Avodah Zarah. It's just not a din in its Maisa Avera. It's a din in, it's an aspect of Dinei Avodah Zarah and Dinei Shabbos. Okay. So having said that, I just want to add one point, and that is, if that's the case, then maybe you can explain Mumar L'chol Yom Kippurim, even if it isn't based only on the Chumras Maisa Avera. Because according to what I'm suggesting, the Chumras Maisa Avera might be the reason why we consider him a bogeid, right? But it isn't a tchuna, it's not part of his onesh. So maybe what you could say is that even though it's not explicit in the Gemara, that Mumar L'Yom HaKippurim is also Mumar L'Chol Torah Kula. The reason being that the capacity for tshuva also highlights the capacity for tshuva and for kula l'Hashem is also a component that is a linchpin idea in Shmiras HaHalacha. Again, the Yerushalmi says in Masechet Makos that the whole institution of tshuva is a kind of a nace. It's, you know, counter-causal. Meaning, the whole idea of tshuva is really that, you know, you do something which is deserving of a punishment. And, you know, tshuva allows you to defy, you know, the consequences of your actions. That's an incredible gift, right? But it's a rejection in some respects of causality. However, the halacha perceives the potential of tshuva as something which is critical to being a shomer mitzvos who takes responsibility. If somebody's not is going to have bechira chafshis and be held responsible for his actions, then he also has to have, right, the capacity, right, to atone for, to wipe the slate clean. Much in the same way that I was saying before about the issue in Geirus. So it could very well be, this is what I think, that the evidence pointing to there being a Mumar L'chol Yom HaKippurim being a Mumar L'chol Torah Kula is not simply because it's based on the Chomer Maisa Avera. I think it's a very difficult shita. I think the other shita of the Beis Halevi is also very difficult. The idea that has really nothing directly to do with Avodah Zarah Shabbos is just a shiur in Mumrius HaGavra. I think these are dinim, what we see from Avodah Zarah and Shabbos, and what you also may have in Yom Kippur, is that the rejection, the chilul of those institutions, in addition to being a Maisa Avera Chamura, is also, right, a personal status of Mumrius, Betoras, that din. And Yom Kippur has that, because Yom Kippur represents the embodiment of the capacity of Kulal Hashem and the ability of human beings, right, to restore their reputation and to be omed lefnei Hashem, notwithstanding you know, some wrong steps to begin. Okay, we're going to stop here.
Barav, I just want to do... Barav, yeah. Can I just ask a question, please?
Sure, sure.
First of all, if we use the idea about the os being the critical factor in Shabbos, could you extend that now to about Yom Tov? Because Yom Tov, on the one hand, is an os. We don't wear tefillin on it. So someone's a muma for Yom Tov. Therefore, it should be just like a muma on Shabbos. If you say the chumra of the Aveira, everyone agrees the chumra of the Aveira of Yom Tov is far less than Shabbos.
Right, but you're suggesting, I would say not all OCO.
And also one other thing, the other, something a little, my wife and I were learning Siva Shalom the Shabbos, that she pointed out to me, she said, when it comes to Shabbos, it's Shabbos Lashem, Shabbos Shabbos Lashem. When it comes to Yom Kippurim, it's Shabbos Shabbos Shalom Lachem. So this would show that Shabbos has a different, the atzad that if you're Mumar Yom Kippur, you shouldn't be a Mumar L'chol HaTorah Kula, because Shabbos is Shabbos on Lashem, you're more of a renegade. I'm giving you Yom Kippur, but Shabbos is Shabbos on Lashem.
Could be. Or maybe the idea is, again, that the whole day of Yom Kippur is Lashem. And, I mean, that's the day of Kula Lashem, because there's no Oneg, there's no Simcha, there's nothing.
Right, but it says Lachem.
But it is Lachem. It's the, maybe it's what I was saying a second ago, which is, it's the way for fallible human beings, right? The way for fallible human beings to be able to be Lifnei Hashem and Kul Hashem is only if they themselves have the option of overcoming their fallibility. In that sense, it's Lachem.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know.
What about the Yom Kippur?
There definitely are, I mean, the idea that Mumar L'chol Yom Kippurim is a Mumar L'chol HaTorah Kula is definitely a debatable question. Again, it's in the end of the day, it's totally omitted from all the Gemaras. There's no question about that. As you can see, it's an interesting discussion among the Achronim. We're just trying to explain that it's not, I think, it's not that difficult. There are always differences between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. I mean, it's Ein Bein, but there's still something on the list. And including what your wife said about Lashem and Lachem, as well as other things. Again, regarding the Yontif point, I think there are different osios. With regard to tefillin, that's one thing. Like, no one thinks that tefillin, and you know, which is an os, is Mumar L'chol HaTorah Kula either. I think what the Rama means by the os isn't just that it's an os, but that it really is the ultimate, I guess, symbol of the special bond between Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael, even more than anything else, in that, you know, it's Kishesh Shamim, and yet it's, you know, Gosh Shavas Chayiv Misa, and all it's the first Kedusha that's mentioned in the Torah. So for many other reasons, I think Shabbos is unique, even vis-a-vis the Yom Tovim. I think the only possible extension you would have would be Yom Kippur, and here you have this this debate. Okay, so that's for today. I want to finish up next week. Just keep these Maram Komos as an interesting tshuva on Michal Shabbos Befarhesia. There are many, many interesting tshuvas. Whether you can be mitzaref a Michal Shabbos to a minyan. I just brought one tshuva of Reb Herzog, which I think is very interesting. But there's a whole massive literature on this topic. And then I want to speak just very briefly again about, you know, the Gemara in Daf Yadal. I'll probably give Maram Komos for that. I'll send it into Zev. And then we'll move on to Davav Amud Aleph after that. Okay?